Welcome. Today's an exciting morning for me because we have our youth leading worship today. They're leading every aspect of the service, and it's been an exciting time of planning, and I'm looking very forward to as they share their gifts with God, as they lay their gifts at the cross this morning, as they talk about some of the different experiences that they've had throughout the year. And we're just excited that they're taking the initiative and they're taking the steps to want to lead. And that's just a great blessing. So our worship team's over here, and mixed throughout the crowd is some more of our worship participants. I want to thank Pastor Doug, as Pastor Doug has walked alongside our three message speakers and mentored them and given them advice and helped them to craft a message in using their spirit and using their gifts as well. And thank you to Marlene for working with our worship team and helping them to craft together a beautiful service. And so we're glad you're here this morning. And at this time, I'd just invite you to stand up and greet one another and perhaps seek out a new face and welcome them here this morning. You guys are doing great.
Keep your eyes open.
Come on.
I was told to sit here.
Good morning. Good morning. So why are you here this morning? Maybe some of you are here because you saw an incredible act of love this week that has no human explanation at all, especially in a crazy and a broken world. Maybe you're here this week because you have a faith so committed that you just want to join with fellowship of believers to share, to learn, and to take what you've gotten here this morning back to your lives outside of this church. Maybe some of you are here this morning because the person beside you dragged you here, and that's okay too. But maybe some of you are here because you realize that your story, your own personal story, is part of a much bigger story, God's story. And you've realized this, that through generations of prophets and priests sharing the good news, you've come to realize that your story is not a minor story of part of God's story. Your story is actually a great part of who God wants you to be and who God has called you to be. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about there are no minor players in God's story. We all have a role, and we're all called to be part of God's story. So we invite you here this morning as we share some of the testimonies of some of these minor people from the Bible. And we see that God has great plans for each of them as well as each of us. Come as we worship. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come here this morning, we thank you. We thank you for your story that you have blessed us with so many years ago and that continues today here in 2018. And we thank you for making us part of your story. And Lord, I pray for each one of these young people here on the stage as they give their gifts to you. Gifts of praise, gifts of words, gifts of taking up an offering. Lord, no gift is small in your eyes. We ask that you bless this service. We ask that the gifts given to you may grow seeds in the different hearts that are here this morning. And we ask for your blessing upon this service. In your name we pray. Amen. Everything.
strong. Forever God is with us, forever. Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong. Forever you are with us, forever.
Can I have all kids up to and including grade 7 come to the stage, please? Everybody, how you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good, doing good. How was your Saturday?
Good.
It was good? Do anything special?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
I went mini golfing and bowling.
Mini golfing, bowling. Oh, nice things. Anybody else? Anything special? How about, did you guys eat anything special?
No.
No?
What you have.
Huh?
You have chocolate.
Oh, yeah, this?
Can I have some?
You want some?
Yeah.
Maybe. You guys know what today is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, of course it's Sunday.
Youth Sunday.
It's Youth Sunday. Good boy. And now, do you know what's outside? Cupcakes. You know what's outside. But since you guys are such a sweet-filled day, I'm going to introduce you to this good friend of mine.
Linden.
Linden. Yeah, we go way back, me and Linden. High school, middle school, oof, me and Linden, oh, we're close buddies, got me through most of my university life. So, who wants some? You want some chocolate? You good? Okay. You want chocolate? But it's pretty big, so let me just take this apart. So who wanted them? Hands up, okay. One for you. I only get those who's close to me for now. You all get some eventually. So, does it taste good? Real good, right? Rich, creamy, delicious. Well, that was only a small part of this big piece of chocolate, isn't it? Just like how sometimes there are small characters in God's major plan. But just because there are small characters in the plan doesn't make it any less important. Just like how the chocolate got smaller doesn't make it any less chocolate. Get it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Joke? That wasn't a joke. Here, have more chocolate. Keep quiet. So that's pretty much it. Just know that just doesn't matter how small you are or how small of a role you think you may play, you're all very important in God's eyes. And that you're all a major part of his plan. Okay? Okay, who else didn't get chocolate? You got chocolate before. Gotta be honest. Honest? Good.
Here you go. She got some.
Nah, she didn't get any chocolate. Who else? Here you go. Chocolate. Ignore that. Pass this to those two back there. And two more, whoever I missed. Okay. Now, everyone up to and including grade 3 will be going upstairs to Kid Church, and you guys should enjoy the rest of your day, okay? Okay.
Oh my God! Okay, so how many of you have heard of the biblical character Rhoda before? Okay, good. I get to introduce you to someone new. So in the video you just saw, it was kind of a modern-day retelling of more or less what we kind of interpreted her story as. So she's a pretty minor character. In fact, she's only mentioned in the Bible once, in Acts chapter 12. Rhoda was a servant girl. But in my eyes, she's probably one of the most relatable characters in the Bible. And she's also a model of what faith should look like. Rhoda had very good relationships with the other believers, despite being a servant. She was also confident in her faith. Finally, Rhoda was probably only around 12 years old, as she's referred to as a young girl. Yet, she was trusted with opening the door and deciding who to let in. But before we get too far into the idea of who Rhoda was, I'll give you a little bit of context with her story. So, Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 19. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door! You're out of your mind," they told her. But she kept insisting that it was so, and so they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. So our friend Rhoda recognized Peter by just hearing his voice, and her emotions got the best of her. And although she was probably friends with most of the people staying in Mary's house, none of them believed her. Dave, the connection pastor at MFA Church in Mooresville, says that we can believe that Rhoda was a woman of faith. And the fact that she recognized Peter by his voice means he must have come to Mary's house often. The fact that the others didn't believe her and even went as far as to call her mad, and yet she still believed that, yes, it was Peter at the door, shows serious commitment. Rhoda was so happy and so excited that their prayers had been answered that she had to tell everyone, and I mean, I get why. So let's say you had been hoping and hoping that you'd get to meet your favorite singer, actor, or athlete. You'd watch interview after interview and memorize what they sounded and looked like. Now one day this person comes knocking at your door and all you hear is their voice. I mean, at least for me, I'd probably be so excited I'd go and tell everyone, forgetting to let them in too. Rhoda wasn't a major character. In fact, she didn't really do anything that important. And although it seems that way to us, she was a pretty key factor in the lives of those staying at Mary's house. She had her purpose and she lived it out. Just because she wasn't going around spreading the message or evangelizing, Rhoda still had an important job. The same can be said of us today. You don't have to be a celebrity in Hollywood or a doctor or a lawyer. If you're a garbage man but you do your job with pride and fulfillment, that doesn't make you any less than someone who's making $1 million. You're probably like, "Okay, Leah, that's great. But we're teenagers, we go to school, do homework, maybe actually work, and then sleep. Since this is the youth service, let's make it relevant to us." There are so many ways we can make an impact on this world. This can be through the little things, like being on the worship team, helping in nursery, or with Sunday school. But it doesn't stop there. Let's think bigger in a smaller kind of way. Fulfilling your role doesn't stop at church. For most of us, we aren't the most popular or special. Instead of striving for greatness in a popularity sense, we need to strive to be better friends and to treat others with respect because we're all made in the image of God. If you do nothing else with your life but be a friend to others or a shoulder to lean on, well, you can be proud of yourself because you are a light in someone else's life. You might never get recognized for it. In fact, you probably won't. Learn to deal with that now because God's smiling on you and he recognizes what you've done. To wrap it up, for us students, we shouldn't worry about not being popular or not living up to the expectations of others. You could do the smallest things, and those things could be the biggest difference in somebody else's life. At the end of the day, as hard as it might be to believe or accept, trust me, I have issues with this too, it's God's standards that matter, not others. And although it might seem like you have to impress people, well, if you're living to impress others, then you aren't living to impress God. Be like Rhoda and live in confidence no matter where you might be or where you might end up. Now, this doesn't just stop with the teenagers. No, this applies for everyone, no matter what your age or walk of life. No matter what you do, if you do it with love and with joy, well, that makes God happy. And living for God, well, that'll make you happy too.
So, good morning. So, I'm going to be talking about Barzillai. And Barzillai's story can be found in 2 Samuel 19, verses 31 to 39. This is what it says. Barzillai the Gileadite also came down from Rogalim to cross the Jordan with the king and to send him on his way from there. Now, Barzillai was very old, 80 years of age. He had provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, "Cross over with me and stay with me in Jerusalem, and I will provide for you." But Barzillai answered the king, "How many more years will I live that I shall go up to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is enjoyable and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of male and female singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will cross over the Jordan with the king for a short distance, but why should the king reward me in this way? Let your servant return, that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and my mother. But here is your servant Kimham. Let him cross over with the lord the king. Do for him whatever you wish." The king said, "Kimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him whatever you wish. Anything you desire from me, I will do for you." So the people crossed the Jordan, and the king crossed over. The king kissed Barzillai and bid him farewell, and Barzillai returned to his home. So, Barzillai, as you can tell in the story, was a Gileadite who was around during the time when David was king. And we're going to get back to Barzillai, but before we get into Barzillai's story, we need to know a little bit about what was happening to David during this time. So like I said, during this time in Jerusalem, David was king. And this is the time during David's rule where his son Absalom was plotting against him. And honestly, Absalom could have been a good king. He was like his father. He was young and charismatic, and he was full of life. But he wasn't like his father in one very important way. Now, in no way was David perfect. He sinned all the time. But when he did, he would repent and he would learn from his mistakes. Absalom, on the other hand, would just keep sinning and sinning, and he wouldn't repent. So when Absalom finally decided he wanted to become king, he went into the towns and he would tell the people what they wanted to hear, even if it wasn't true. Many people ended up trusting Absalom and switching their loyalties. So eventually Absalom gets all these followers and ends up crowning himself king. And then, surprise, surprise, he ends up becoming an evil ruler. So now, due to the threat that Absalom caused in Jerusalem, David has to leave and go to Mahanaim, which is on the eastern side of the River Jordan. Absalom and his men end up following David, and they end up in Gilead, which is pretty close to Mahanaim. So when David and his men left Jerusalem, they didn't bring any provisions or food, but the Lord still provided for him. The Lord sent wealthy men from the region to bring provisions for David and his people, and Barzillai was one of these men. So when Barzillai met David, he was 80 years old. So it would have been safer for Barzillai not to associate himself with the displaced king, because a lot of people in Gilead wanted Absalom to be king. But he chose to help David anyway and his people and take care of their needs. Now, we live in a time where being Christian isn't the most popular, especially with all the bad things going on in the world. I know for me, I go to a public school, so usually when people find out I'm Christian, they make jokes about Christianity, or they'll be like, "Are you seriously Christian? Like, is that still a thing?" Which it is. And people always seem to want to ridicule us for our decisions and beliefs, because apparently being Christian in the eyes of society means that we have to be perfect. But God doesn't want us to be perfect. He doesn't want us to cave into the pressures that other people put on us. Instead, he wants us to be loyal to him no matter the circumstance. He doesn't need us to be perfect. Barzillai knew that there were a lot of people who wouldn't like the fact that he was helping David, but he did it anyway because he knew who the true king was. In the same way, we shouldn't get caught up in the world or what people around us have to say, because we know who the true king is and we know where our hearts lie. And the thing is, all Barzillai really did was give the king some provisions. And it's not like Barzillai was a poor man giving David the last bit of the thing he had. Barzillai was wealthy. He had a lot of stuff, so it probably didn't mean that much for him. But it had a really big impact on David's life. Even when David returned to Jerusalem, he still remembered what Barzillai had done for him. Sometimes as Christians, we do things and we feel it has little to no impact. We invite the same friend to church every day for weeks, or we keep saying hi to that neighbor who never says hi back, or we can only help out at one day at VBC and we feel bad because he can't help out more. And we don't think we're making a big difference, but we never know the difference we could be making in someone else's life. Maybe that friend that we keep inviting to church day after day and week after week is getting that much closer to actually accepting God into their life. Or maybe that neighbor you keep saying hi to every day, that's the best part of that neighbor's day. And maybe that one day you choose to volunteer at VBC and spend your time with the kids at VBC is the day that really affects that kid and makes them want to delve deeper into their relationship with Christ. So we can never really tell the difference we're making, and God sees all of it, and he knows that we are making strides for his kingdom. Yeah. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up for another song, so please stand.
The whole world.
whatever you want. Hope you're enjoying the service so far. So I'm going to start my little sermon off with a story about little awkward ninth grade Ime. I'm still awkward. That hasn't changed. So when I was in ninth grade, I tried out for the softball team. And by God's grace, and trust me, God's grace alone, I made the team. Now keep in mind that I was a terrible batter and could pretty much only catch. Now everyone on the team always wanted to play infield. Infield was where all the action happened. So as you can probably guess, I always played outfield. Every single game, I got placed in outfield. And it made me feel terrible. It made me feel like I was less important than everyone else on my team. Then during one of our games, something absolutely amazing happened. Only happened once, never happened again the entire season. A ball finally made it to outfield, and it was coming right towards me. So I put my glove up, and I caught it. Well, in actuality, the ball kind of landed in my hand. All I really did was close it. But it was still a catch. And it made me feel like I was on top of the world, and I finally felt like I was an important part of my team. Now I'm going to talk about a member of Jesus' team of 12, the disciples. Now I know what you're all probably thinking. Oh, Ime, you messed up there. This is supposed to be about minor characters, but I promise I know what I'm talking about. James, son of Alphaeus, was definitely a minor character. Do you know what the Bible says about James? Absolutely nothing. There are actually two Jameses in the disciple, James, son of Alphaeus, and James, son of Zebedee. Now, because there are two of them, they both got super cool nicknames to differentiate themselves. James, son of Zebedee, got James, son of thunder. Now, that is a cool nickname, strong, powerful. Do you know what James, son of Alphaeus, got? James the Micros, which literally translates into James the Little, either because he was younger than the son of Zebedee, shorter than the son of Zebedee, or overall just less impressive than the son of Zebedee. Now, little James is only mentioned in four verses in the Bible. And in all four of the verses, you only hear his name. But this is where it gets really cool. So if you look at Revelation 21, verse 14, it's talking about the New Jerusalem. And it says, the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and all of them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. James, son of Alphaeus, a foundation for the New Jerusalem. Sure, making James, son of Zebedee, son of thunder, a foundation makes sense. But little James, who we know nothing about, the strange thing is I find it really comforting that God made James, son of Alphaeus, an apostle and a foundation for the New Jerusalem. Do you know why? It's because it didn't matter that, as far as we know, he didn't do anything outstanding. What matters is that he was called by God to do something, just like how Barzillai was called to be faithful to David when the rest of the kingdom had turned against it, or how Rhoda was called to open the door for Peter. It doesn't matter how big a part you think you're playing. It doesn't matter if you're called Son of Thunder or James the Little. What matters is that God has called you to be a part of his amazing plan. He's called you to do something. Sure, he called some people to be a pastor, but he also called some people to be a really good friend. Playing outfield didn't make me any less a member of my team. My lack of skill had that one covered. Just like how by playing what you may think is a minor role still makes you a major part of God's plan. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. Please stand. Oh, never mind. Haha, I'm wrong.
No, got this. So most of you probably don't know me. My name is Simon. I go to Insight. And first of all, I'd like to thank you guys as a church for having these youth programs. And I've been a part of them from Boys Club all the way up to Insight. And it has always been the highlight of my week. And it has always been really fun. So it is my pleasure to be here today to pray for you guys. And so let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for blessing us with this opportunity for the youth to lead in service. We thank you for the safe return of the Vanderbergs from Tanzania, and we pray that Ken Gittins recovers properly from his back surgery, and we thank you for everything that we've been able to accomplish today, and that the messages that were said here today will go with these people in their daily lives, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I got this, guys. Don't worry. So, I'm John. This is Caleb. We're going to talk about the offering. So today's offering is for the youth ministries. So, we're going to talk about what we've done inside of it this year. So, we've had three series. The What If series, Elephants in the Room, and the GPS series, Finding Direction in Our Lives. We've also had lots of fun events like bubble soccer, which I'll admit, I didn't try and kick the ball as much as I tried to slam Caleb into the ground.
Okay, so this summer, We are going on a surf trip. There are 16 of us. A lot of us are here, but some of us aren't. We're going from July 7th to July 15th, and your support and prayers are going to be greatly needed in this event that is going to be taking place. We all created bags, so if you're feeling kind of generous, you can place some nice notes or little gifts in our bags at our surf table.
Candy.
Candy. And so, yeah, if you want to learn more about that or support us and come talk to us, there's a booth out front after this church service that you can come see. Thank you.
Was raised as my conscience fell, a silly little lie. It didn't mean much, but it lingers still in the corners of my mind. Still you call me to walk on the edge of this world, to spread my dreams and fly. The future's so far, my heart is so frail. Think I'd rather stay inside. But you love me anyway, despite nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh, but never find all the reasons we change, the reasons I doubt. Why do loved ones have to die? But you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me. Yes, you love me anyway.
You may be standing.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. I want to thank you for coming this morning, and our prayer is that you realize that you are not a minor part of God's story, that each and every person here matters just as much as one another in God's eyes. God created each and every single one of you unique and different, and he has a great plan for every single one of you. And the prayer of the youth team is that you come to know why God has called you to be here this morning, and that you go here from this morning understanding that you are not a small part of God's plan. You are God's plan. Go here today knowing this and trusting in his works.
Coming back.